This weekend, Henry Lee McCollum and his half-brother Leon Brown will enjoy their first week of freedom in 30 years. Just think about that for a second. What were you doing 30 years ago, assuming you were even born then? Well, both men were released this week from a North Carolina prison. DNA evidence uncovered by the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission exonerated McCollum and Brown of the rape and murder in 1983 of an 11-year-old girl named Sabrina Bowie in Red Springs, North Carolina. Brown and McCollum were teenagers at the time of their conviction. Both men are mentally disabled, and both were sentenced to die. And although Leon Brown's conviction was eventually changed to life in prison, Henry McCollum's death sentence was upheld, making him the longest-serving inmate on death row in the state. 152 men remain on death row in Raleigh's Central Prison. James Payne is Leon Brown's attorney, and he says both men's innocence is only further proof to him that the death penalty needs some rethinking.
The main evidence that convicted him were the false confessions of Mr. Brown, the false confession of Mr. McCollum, and a second witness who, for lack of a better word, was quite discredited, who had said that the defendants had made some admissions with regard to the rape and murder. But there was no physical evidence tying either young man to the scene of the crime.
Well, what were the circumstances of the confession? Was it coerced or otherwise under duress?
I have been careful, Mr. Zwillick, not to use the word coerced. There are false confessions, and false confessions can occur without having been coerced, but the circumstances are very important. One, both young men, boys, were mentally retarded at the time. Mr. Brown had the IQ of 54, was operating at a second-degree reading level. Mr. McCollum, not much better. They were in a room with experienced law enforcement officers for hours, separated. In Mr. McCollum's room was the crime scene investigator who knew all of the factual details of the crime scene and knew about the condition of Miss Sabrina Bowie's body, particularly the fact that her panties were found stuffed down her throat and broken off with a stick. In addition to that, Mr. McCollum had always maintained that he was told, if you just admit to what you're doing, you'll get to go home. So is Mr. Brown. Significantly, when Mr. McCollum signed the statement, which was written by somebody else, he got up to walk out of the room. Law enforcement officer said, where are you going? He said, well, you said I could go home. That's not something that can be staged.
Well, it's not the first case, certainly, of false confessions that we've ever heard about. But why did it take 30 years or close to 30 years to get these convictions overturned? Was there new DNA evidence that convicted somebody else?
Well, the direct answer to that would be that there is new DNA evidence that has not been used to convict anybody else, but that did two things, pointed to another individual and DNA evidence that excluded Brown and McCollum from the scene. The DNA evidence, of course, was not available back in 1983 and 1984. We have in North Carolina, and we're unique because we're a pioneer in that, the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission. That commission was petitioned by Mr. Brown, who got some help from an inmate. Mr. Brown asked the commission to investigate his case. They are a neutral fact-finding body, pioneered by our former Chief Justice I. Beverly Lake. That fact-finding body had a lot more investigative authority, commenced its investigation in 2010, amongst which was interviews, of course, of both men, interviews of numerous witnesses, but significantly the DNA evidence. It excluded them by finding that their DNA was not at the crime scene. Well, on critical pieces of evidence.
We'll come back to Mr. Brown and Mr. McCollum in a minute because they have a new life to start outside of prison after all of these years. But Mr. Payne, taking a step back from this case a little bit, what does it tell you? I don't know where you come down on the death penalty and capital punishment But what does this case tell you about the many calls for conclusive scientific evidence or DNA in order to convict for the death penalty, for that sentence, rather than a life sentence?
That evidence would have to be left up, in my mind, to the province of a jury. Now, what is important to know is that defendants, particularly in North Carolina anyway, have the right to acquire court-appointed funds to conduct DNA testing. And that right should be protected, of course. But that allows a defendant to have equal footing by conducting their own testing on whatever particular item of physical evidence that they might want to do.
Mr. Payne, of course, false conviction and ultimately the execution of an innocent person has always been the standard for a lot of people to show that the death penalty should be abolished. Maybe we're not on the cusp of abolition anytime soon, but what does this case say to you about that larger debate?
To me, this case stands as a shining example of why we should not have it. This case was used by one of the justices of the Supreme Court as a reason why the death penalty was a good thing.
Who is that justice?
That was Justice Scalia, and he pointed directly to Mr. McCollum. And, of course, we now know that Mr. McCollum was totally innocent.
In other words, Mr. McCollum and Mr. Brown would have been examples we know now, had their executions gone through, of a definitive case of an innocent person being put to death by the state.
Exactly. And Mr. McCollum spent 30 years on death row, and Mr. Brown himself spent 5 years.
Well, now we're at the point, Mr. Payne, where both those brothers, including your client, Leon Brown, have been set free. Hard to imagine or even really ask about how life begins after that long in a penitentiary for all those many years. What kind of plans does your client, Mr. Brown, have for starting life, for coping?
His first plan, Mr. Zwillick, was to go to McDonald's and have a hamburger and a milkshake. He's a man of few words. He's been institutionalized for 31 years. He's lost his entire life as an adult. He wants to get out, get a job, get a trade, and learn to be a productive citizen, to make a contribution to society as best he can.
And without violating privilege, if I can ask you, what did Leon Brown say to you the moment you told him he would be set free?
God is good.
Well, Leon Brown is going to experience life outside of prison for the first time in 31 years, as will his half-brother, Henry Lee McCollum, both set free from penitentiary in North Carolina after their convictions were overturned on death row for the 1983 rape and murder of Sabrina Bowie. Leon Brown's lawyer is James Payne. Mr. Payne, thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Willick.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.